The following program was paid for by Templar Real Estate. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of WMTR. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major decision. It's time now for the Templar Real Estate Talk Show. Here's your host for the program, Joseph J. Zoppi.
Hi, this is Joseph J. Zoppi, and welcome to Templar Real Estate Radio Show. I'm a real estate investor, consumer advocate, author, and managing partner of Templar Real Estate Enterprises. You can reach us at TemplarCashForHouses.com or call us at 973-315-7990. And we can answer any questions you may have or email us from our website. If you want a topic answered on the air, we will try our best to answer that as well on the show. My company is a real estate investment firm. We buy houses for cash. We purchase apartment buildings. We do joint ventures with real estate investors. We loan money for rehabs and provide transactional funding as well. We work with individuals that want to invest with us in single family houses up to apartment buildings. We do not speculate, and we're very protective of our money and our investors' money. Speaking in speculation, later on I'll talk a little bit about speculation and some of the pitfalls of it. I'm not a real estate agent. I have individuals on staff that are agents that will sell your house through the traditional multiple listing service, but we are not a brokerage. The show will go over everything that is about real estate and those things that impact real estate. We'll talk about rehabs, some of our investments, what went well, and those things that did not go as well, especially how we learned from it. We'll discuss trends in the real estate market. Real estate is the biggest investment most people have, and it's important you know as much as possible about it. Here I'm providing my opinion. It's only my opinion. I ask everyone to do research on everything. If you have a CPA and they recommend something, I'd still recommend doing the research, as well as with an attorney. Always double or triple check everything you hear, especially when you're making financial decisions or any type of decisions. Last week I spoke about putting cameras in investment properties. I said usually like a four unit on up I would recommend. So there's certain subtleties with language, and there's certain things based on context. In thinking about what my statement was, I wanted to make it very clear. That was for investment properties. If you have a two-family, you could put, obviously, a security system in place. It really depends on how much money you're making and, you know, where it's located. I do recommend, obviously, put, you know, security systems in your primary residence. So I wanted to make that clear. So, you know, every time you hear something from someone, like I said, you double check and triple check and make sure what they're talking about in terms of the context they're talking about. That reminds me of a story when I first got married. My ex-wife, she used to always tell me, she said, "Joe, we had a shower." And she said, after you're done, you got to close the shower curtain. And we never had shower curtains when I lived with my mom. You know, we had these shower stalls. So it was a new thing for me. I was like, okay, that's fine. Then 2 days later, again, she's saying, "Joe, you got to close the shower curtain." I'm like, okay. So, you know, I'm naive and I'm not paying attention. So I said, I must not have done anything. You know, I must not have done it. Then a third time happened. And she said, "You got to close the shower curtain." I'm like, "What's going on?" So I brought her over to the bathroom. I go, "Here, it's closed." And she said, "No, it's open." So we had this debate on what is closed for a curtain and what is open on a curtain. So I won, though. But, you know, she had it where it was fully extended so it would drip. But I thought that was closed. Because you couldn't see through it. It wasn't open. Whereas she was saying, no, that was not the case. So again, you know, in human language and also written language, you know, there's those subtleties and those things where one person thinks something else and another one thinks something else. And You know, we were very careful with that in our investments, and we do a lot of research, and I recommend, you know, for anything that you do, you look at those things. Next thing I want to cover is a topic which I discussed last week and the week before, and it had to do with the 12 things to look for when you're engaging with a cash buyer, case in point, like ourselves. I had gone over over the last 2 weeks, I said that you have to look at how long the business has been in existence. I highly recommend to be part of the BBB, Better Business Bureau. In addition, I said about assigning contracts. That's where you sign a contract, and then the individual could have another person fulfill those obligations. Again, we don't do it, and we discourage it, but if you're going into it, you know, with your eyes wide open, you know, that is fine. It's just that when you're engaging with someone and you feel comfortable with them, then someone else has to pay the money. You know, you might not be comfortable with them. You might have done your due diligence for the one person, but then you got to do it for the other person or you don't do it. And the other thing that I talked about is when you're presented with a contract where you need to sign immediately. Okay, again, you shouldn't have to sign anything immediately. You should bring it to your attorney so they can review it. So those are the things I spoke about previously. Now, in this segment, I'm going to talk about proof of funds. Sometimes it's POF, they call it. So if a person's purchasing with cash, you would think they have cash. So as a result of that, we will show proof of funds, and we highly recommend that you request it. It's not out of the ordinary. If someone says it is, then I would be looking for someone else. Okay? You could use a bank statement. I think that's the best thing to use from our feeling, but you can have a third-party letter. The unfortunate thing about a third-party letter is that it's not a guarantee. Or it's not a promise. It's a promise, so... but it's not a guarantee. So we've all been, you know, had promises broken. So a organization, company might promise that they're going to invest X amount of dollars in a house, but that's not a guarantee. Now, we also use lines of credit, private investors, but each of those things we have fully documented to ensure that the person that's selling the property feels very comfortable. Unfortunately, sometimes with individuals selling their property and they're under tight time frame, they'll capitulate and not ask some of these questions because they're so desperate. So that's something that is understandable, but sometimes it just exasperates a bad situation and makes it a lot worse. The other thing that I like to talk about is their place of business. So if an individual or a company is going to purchase your home, they should have a place of business. You know, it could be their home, which is fine, or a, you know, a commercial building. But you should be able to know where their office is. And a lot of times investors, you don't know where their office is. So that's something that to be very cognizant of and be wary of if that's not the case. You know, you're going to be receiving a lot of money, hopefully, from the purchase of the house. And you would hope that, you know, they're a legitimate organization. And if you follow these rules, it's going to be a lot better. And you could feel a lot more comfortable with that you're going to have a successful transaction. Next thing I'm going to talk about is real estate agents and an app that's used for real estate agents. So there's probably a lot of real estate agents out there. And one of the things that has occurred over the last X amount of years is that there's a safety concern. For agents, They've been robbed, raped, and even killed. And, you know, it is a serious situation. You know, you're going into, you're showing a house. We're going to meet an individual to show a house. And you don't know who that person is. So a lot of things could happen as a result of that. There's an app that's out there that we're looking into right now, and we're going to, I'll keep you updated on it. It's called Forewarn, Forewarn. So it's an app, and what it does is when someone calls in, you know, they're going to leave a number, or you're going to take their number. You put the number into the app, whether it's on your Android phone, your Apple phone, or on your laptop or desktop. You put their phone number in, and it'll do an instant background check. So it'll check for bankruptcies, it'll check for mortgage liens, it'll check for criminal history, and is 80% successful in terms of pulling information from an individual. So before you go to show a house, you can check it out. And I think it's really, really important. You know, back in, I think, 2014 in Arkansas, there was a real estate broker. She was kidnapped and murdered by a couple who had targeted her for being rich. So it is a real and, you know, present danger with that. You know, there are certain agents that do protect themselves in certain ways. It's from the statistics nationwide, there's a survey, and 16% pack a pistol, 19% carry pepper spray, and 5% have tasers. So that's about 40%. So 40% of the agents are packing somehow. But again, in certain areas, those, things are restricted, especially like in New York City and certain cities like that. But with this app, it really is proactive instead of reactive. And that's the thing, is that, you know, with all these things, it's more as a result of. So if something happens, you're going to have to pull out the gun or the pepper spray. Whereas an app like this will be proactive, and you know where you could reduce the likelihood of a potential problem. So thank you very much for this segment, and I'll be talking to you shortly.
Life can be a roller coaster, and sometimes you need to sell your house fast. That's why there's TemplarBuysHouses.com. Maybe you're downsizing, getting a divorce, having health or financial issues. If so, head to TemplarBuysHouses.com. TemplarBuysHouses.com. TemplarBuysHouses.com will buy your house quickly and without hassle. If you've inherited a house that is vacant, contact TemplarBuysHouses.com. Dealing with them is easy and quick. No high-pressure sales tactics, and you won't have to fix up the house. They will buy your house as is. You pick the closing date and when you move out. No commissions and no hassles. Contact TemplarBuysHouses.com. TemplarBuysHouses.com. With an A rating from the Better Business Bureau. Call 973-315-7990. That's 973-315-7990.
Be sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Templar Real Estate Talk Show. Get informed and have your questions answered on AM 1250 WMTR.
Hi, this is Joseph J. Zoppi, and welcome back to Templar Real Estate Radio Show. Right now, I'd like to cover a couple additional things about some events we're going to be having in the near future. One of them has to do with investing in real estate passively. So there's two types of real estate investing. You can do passive or active. Active is something that we do. We'll roll up our sleeves. We'll do a rehab. If it's a apartment building, we'll do all the research. We'll look over the numbers. We'll engage. We'll fix up the building. And then obviously receive the rents. So that's what an active real estate investor would do. Now, on the passive side, it's more of where you invest in something and then you get a rate of return. So we do both of those things, whether it's active or passive. You know, usually when you're investing in a apartment building, there's that passive side. So we sit back afterwards and we collect the rent. So that's the passive side. But the active side is getting into our own upper sleeves and looking at the deals, searching for them, and eventually fixing and selling them. So we're going to have an event on passively investing in real estate, and we're going to have an individual that's going to talk about self-directed IRAs. So he's going to, I'm going to bring him on next week. It's probably going to be next week to talk about self-directed IRAs and how you can invest in either real estate or other types of securities or other investments. It's provided a lot of flexibility to investors. So you're not just tied to, you know, your 401k and what different types of instruments that particular company will support, whether it's mutual funds, stocks, so on and so forth. The self-directed approach is you're more in control of your money. You can do a lot more things with it. There's certain restrictions, but the restrictions are, you know, relatively small. Consider about the flexibility you'll have. And the gentleman I'm going to bring on will explain all those types of things, the do's and don'ts. And then we're going to have a follow-up after next week's talk at a hotel. It'll probably be in the Parsippany area in the February-March time frame. We're still trying to finalize that. And you could come by, you could listen, and you could learn some more about different investment approaches. We're going to also have another event for active real estate agents and how they could increase what they're making. And it's going to be a lunch and learn probably. It'll probably be about an hour, hour and a half. And it's exclusively for real estate agents. Again, it'll be in the Parsippany area. And it'll be in the same time frame, February-March time frame. And we're excited to host that event. It should be very interesting. But, you know, agents have to do a lot of work. And, you know, their pay is okay. But, you know, they're always, you know, getting charged with fees for, you know, certain desk fees, certain things that the brokerage will charge. Certain ones are more liberal. They won't charge as much or charge at all, but this event should open their eyes to another approach and something that might make them considerably more money. Next thing I'd like to talk about is some of the things with the economy. And I said before about speculation. So we don't speculate. One most recent example is with Amazon. So a few years ago, Amazon said they were going to open up a second headquarters. And they provided a list of a number of cities throughout the country where they're interested in. They sent out a request for a proposal to come back in terms of how they could support Amazon. It was based on highway access, so on and so forth. And they were going to bring on about 25,000 to 40,000 individuals. So it was a very big deal. So a lot of people are always wondering, where is it going to be? Where is it going to be? One of those locations was New York City area. Second one was Newark area. So, like I said, I don't speculate, but I was always wondering whether it's going to come to Newark. And, you know, it's like, okay, what happens if it does? You know, what should we do? So that was always going on in my head. But obviously, I was very prudent with that. And, you know, I didn't jump on the bandwagon. So Amazon put out the final award to two places. One was New York, city, the Long Island area. And the other one was in Virginia, Arlington, Virginia. So after they announced it, there was a lot of, you know, purchasing of real estate, so on and so forth. Again, it was somewhat speculative, somewhat, because everybody assumed the deal was done. But after the politicians got involved and started demanding additional things from Amazon, and they complained about the tax benefits, their tax reduction they were going to get, so on and so forth. And Amazon decided to pull the plug on it, and they left. So that kind of put a little bit of popped the bubble a little bit in the New York area. Whereas on the other side, with Arlington, Virginia, what happened was the median home prices in Arlington area increased by 33%. And there was a listings were down 50%. So basically, when the listings were down 50% because things were turning over very quickly, because days on market were less than 28 days on market. So there was a buying frenzy there. Whereas New York had initially experienced a surge, but as a result of that, it's decreased now. You know, home prices are down 15% in the area. So, again, you know, if you're speculating, and you could see what happens when things aren't truly finalized. So I think some people in the New York area are going to get hurt because of that, because right now, prices aren't appreciating that much, and you take a 15% hit. You know, that's considerable. Next thing I'm going to talk about is the migration to different states. So there was a couple articles out about the shifting of individuals moving from different states, and they looked at it from a political perspective, but I'm going to look at it from both political a little bit, but really from a real estate perspective. So California is highly regulated, and as a result of that, there's a lot of people leaving California, and they're moving to other states that are a little more flexible, as well as their economy's a lot stronger. You know, one of them is Arizona. Second one is Texas. Texas really gained a lot of individuals. So I think last year, California lost 86,000 individuals that moved out of California. Another state that's losing a lot is New York. So what's happening is people out of New York are, some are going to Jersey, and which surprised me a little bit. It didn't surprise me a lot, but they said it was a fairly sizable increase. And that's what surprised me, I guess, because they're still working. So, but the other ones are going to Florida. So most of the New Yorkers are going down to Florida. And on the, like I said, the California side, they're going, a lot of them are going to Arizona and Texas. So this article had stated that in 2024, there'll be an increase in the electoral votes for some of these states like Texas, Florida, even Pennsylvania. So it might change the dynamics of who gets in office based on this. And there was a question about, well, if more Democrats are moving over to Texas, which was a red state, will that affect it? And now the question is, afterwards they're saying, well, maybe they'll assimilate more towards the way Texans think, and it will stay a red state. So it's something that we'd have to see, and it's pretty interesting to think about it. But with those individuals moving out at record paces, both New York and California, what's that going to do to real estate prices? So, again, there's areas where California have topped out. And then with individuals moving out of the state, that's going to put additional pressure on house prices. So that's something that I think as the years progress, it's going to be very interesting where this goes. It's going to be very interesting. Next thing I'd like to talk about is inflation and the deficit. So I talked previously and I said a little bit about the deficit, my concern for the deficit. And again, different things like this are going to impact interest rates. And obviously, again, it's going to impact real estate. So one of the things that I think the Trump administration has not been successful at, and no one has, in terms of curbing our deficit. Back in 2009, deficit went over $1 trillion. And that was up to, I think, 2012. And then it came back down below $1 trillion. But now it's inching back up to the $1 trillion mark. And it's going to continue to go up. And that's the issue, is that, there's some politics involved here. And unfortunately, neither side wants to take the necessary measures to control spending, because it's going to impact their contingency, their people, and they don't want that. But in the end, it's really going to hurt everybody involved. Alan Greenspan, which is a former Federal Reserve chairman, he warned of the surging out-of-control budget deficits, which is going to ultimately cause inflation. And there's certain individuals that say it's going to really push really, really high. I don't know if that's the case. No one knows really, but that is a major concern of mine as well. And, when we're doing investments, we're always looking at those types of things and how it's going to impact our investments, where it's going to be, what we're in the middle of. If we have a recession, how is that going to affect us? If we're in the middle of X amount of rehabs and a recession hits, how quickly can we get out of those rehabs? How quickly can we turn it over and sell it? What's the impact going to be? So that is always a concern of ours, and we look at these numbers and where the economy is going, where the market is going, a lot. In 2019, the budget year, the government ran at a deficit of $984 billion. That's the most in the last 7 years. So it's going to go above $1 trillion in the next year or two. And that is, like I said, a very big concern of mine. There's Japan right now, and it's been for a long time, has been like 200% of debt to GDP, which is, ours is right now about 105%. So, we have to pay back that debt. Now you could say that Japan's handling it okay at 200%. They're still, they're the third largest economy. They're doing okay, so it should be okay for us. But our debt is owned by a lot of individuals outside the company, outside the country, whereas Japan's, the majority, like 90%, is owed by the Japanese people themselves. So there's a difference from a cultural perspective, and they, the government pushes on the individuals to buy the debt, whereas we sell our debt, and individual countries like China and throughout the world purchase our debt. So that's something that's definitely different. They're saying that it, potentially could really affect us considerably. And that's, like I said, a big concern of ours. And not everyone is talking about that. You know, they talk about it here and there, but the spending continues. And, you know, there's no end in sight. And that's a very unfortunate thing. So I'd like to close out this session. I'd like to thank you very much for listening to us today. If you have any questions at all, you could always call us or you could send us an email. Just go on our website and fill out the form. And if you're ever interested in selling your house, selling your apartment building, if you're interested in joint venturing with us, please give us a call. Okay? Thank you very much.
The preceding program was paid for by Templar Real Estate. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the staff and management of WMTR. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major decision.